question really is, what are we building? What is all of this that we are doing? And I think I can answer for all of us that we are trying to build a faith-filled life. We're trying to establish a faith-filled life. And so I want to dig a little further today into the building process. And I want to talk to you from this subject today, permitted. Look at somebody and tell them, I have been permitted. It's a building term. We have our permits, and I believe the Lord is going to help us. The actual process of building is interesting. When we bought our home, it was in the final stages. I would say it was about 85% completed. There were still a number of tasks, and so we could walk through and had some options of picking this or picking that. But I would go every single day once we had that home under contract and knew that it was going to be ours. I would go every day just wanting to see what progress had been made, because building is interesting. This physical structure that you are sitting in today, it began with an idea long before ground was ever broken or a single nail was driven. A builder had to go through the permitting process. They had to get permission. What does the permit say? The permit is a stamp of approval that says you have permission to build. Because that word permit has its root in the word permission. All of it is about permission. I want to tell you today that we are attempting to build something. We're building a faith-filled life. We're building a family that honors God and honors His house and loves His presence. You may be building a career. You may feel called to build a ministry. I'm just going to tell you today, I'm interested in building a church. I'm interested in seeing what God could do right here in this house, to see His glory and to see His power and to see His presence. But here's the question: regardless of what you are building today, regardless of what your focus may be this morning, or where your interests are aligned, the question is, are you building with God's permission? Do you have permitting from the Lord? Are you building what He wants you to build, or are we building according to our own plans? Are we doing what He wants us to do, or are we doing what we want to do? Let me read this anchor text of Scripture today, Psalms 127 and 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Let me read that again. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. I want to give you some context so that we all have good understanding. It's important, because this psalm is one of two psalms attributed to Solomon. He's credited with writing this particular psalm, Psalm 127, and one other, Psalm 72. The understanding is good, knowing Solomon wrote this text because Solomon is a master builder. Solomon is a man who knows how to raise things out of the ground, a man that understands structures, a man that understands how to build things with excellence. I mean, Solomon builds at an expert level. We know that he built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. That happened in 1 Kings chapter 6. And then when you get to 1 Kings 7, you see that Solomon built his own royal palace. I think the order is interesting. He built God's house before he built his house. He invested in the things of God before he invested in himself. And then 1 Kings 9 tells us that Solomon was in charge of building the public works and a number of fortified cities. Solomon knows what he is doing. So when he wrote, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain," Solomon said, "I am a builder. I know what I am doing, but all of my expertise and all of my wisdom and all of my knowledge and all of my know-how, it means nothing if God is not in charge of what we're building." In other words, we can stand all the talent we can find on to this stage, but our talent means nothing unless the Lord builds the house. We can gather all of our ideas. We can pot and carpool and pool together all of our ingenuity, but it means absolutely nothing unless the Lord is in charge. What are you saying, Pastor Darrell? I'm saying that I am nothing. We are nothing without God. Our best human effort without divine blessing is worthless. We got to have the Lord in our lives. We've got to have him moving. We've got to have him in charge. We have to have him at the center of everything that we do. The best life we can dream up, the best family we can lead, the best career we can aspire to, all of that is worthless without God's touch. If I gain the whole world, but I lose my own soul, it has not profited me anything. Why? Because the Lord has to build the house. Does anybody want God to build the house? Who would want to do anything without God in charge? No way. I think I tried it one time without him, and that was a mess. I said, never again. I won't do this without the Lord. I won't do anything without the Lord. I'm not going to do anything without God in charge and leading my life. Can you imagine trying to build a church without Jesus at the center of it all? Doesn't make any sense. No way. I refuse. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. When we arrived, we talked about this a little bit the last couple of weeks, but when we arrived in 2017, this building was about 15 years old at that point. Most of the building happened in 2002. You moved into this building in 2003, and then we came in 2017 just in time for the maintenance. 15 years in, stuff was breaking, stuff was not working right. We arrived to multiple ACs were not running. Some had not run in several years. I mean, almost immediately, we were replacing four AC units, added one in the cafe. It seemed like the more we dug in, we wondered if the builder ever really got the permits. And I say that not knowing who the builder was. It may be your uncle, or it may be your good friend. I don't know, but I've wondered sometime when we're digging into stuff like, did somebody know somebody? This is like a brother-in-law deal, and they just signed off. But sometimes we find stuff that's very, it was built a little wonky and just not, didn't seem like it was quite up to the permitting process. But this process is so specific and it's so unique, because what I found is the same process in the natural is the same process in the spiritual. If you're going to build something in the natural, if you're going to build something in the spiritual, you're going to have to follow the same process. Someone said, only what you do for Christ. Here's how Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here it is. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So no matter how wonky it seems sometimes, no matter how offline or out of a line alignment it seems sometimes, you got to know if you're doing this work for the Lord, then your labor is not in vain. I told you to tell a neighbor a couple of weeks ago, hey, I'm Bob the Builder. Why? Because God has given me an idea for how great my life can be. God has given me a vision for how great my marriage can be, how wonderful my family can be, how abundant my finances can be. Hello, I'm Bob the Builder. What are you doing? I'm building something for the Lord. The Lord is involved in this process. You'll just have to pardon me for a moment, but we're trying to build a revival in this church. We're trying to build a fire in this church. I've got this idea that the Lord said, hey, if you do it according to my plan, that baptistry will never be empty. These altars will never be barren. People will come in with disease and leave free. People will come in broken and leave healed. I'm talking about a kind of revival that is not hype, but is a move of God's Spirit. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm Bob the Builder. I'm building something. I'm a part of this. But we got to work. We got to work the permitting process. If we're going to build something for the Lord, if we're going to do something for God, we've got to go through the permitting process. Here's the first step in that process. It's called zoning approval. Zoning approval. Before any construction begins, the city, those in power, they have to check the zoning. They want to ensure that the land is being used for the right purpose. Got to do their zoning. You pulled up today. There's white new white stakes all across the front. It's a long story. We're still trying to figure out just exactly what they're doing. But they want to bring power lines. Not every one of those stakes is a power line, but it's a process with Amazon, potentially Amazon, that's building just a stone's throw from us on Flat Rock. They're trying to make sure there's enough power in this area to house all that is needed. And so they're staking off the ground. They're zoning. They're marking territory. They're trying to see what they have and how all of this lays out. They want to make sure that the land is being used for the right purpose. Hear me when I say zoning approval is God's way of checking to see if your heart is in the right place. Where is your heart? What are your motives? Before he blesses plans, he checks hearts. But before he blesses ideas, he checks motives. Is this project for my glory, or is it for your glory? Is this plan as unto me, or is it as unto you? Sometimes the plan is good, but the motive is wrong. Sometimes we have too much pride involved. Sometimes we have too much personal ambition involved. Sometimes we have fear involved. I hope I've settled this once and for all. I pray that somehow we lead in humility, because this is not about us. This is not about Pastor Kristen or myself. We're not looking for any applause. We're not trying to get on anyone's TV. But God, if you will allow us to be a part of the church that you build in this community, if you will allow us to be a part of the revival that you pour out in this community, this is all about Jesus. It's all about him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. If we commit to him, if we sell out to him, if we lay our lives on an altar somewhere and say, Lord, use me for your glory. In other words, I'm not trying to take my talents here, there, and yon. I want to build something for you. I want to build a church. I want to build a faith-filled life. Want to build a family, want to build a marriage, want to build finance. I want to build something for you. If you will commit to the Lord, whatever you do, then he will establish your plans. I love this. When our heart is zoned for God's purpose, his favor rests on what we build. If our hearts are zoned for God's purpose, check my motives, Lord. Search me and know who I am, and know every motive, know every thought and every desire of my life. Why? Because I want your favor to rest on what we are building. Here's the second step in that permitting process. It's called blueprint review. We got to go over the plans. We've got to dig into the details. Once the zoning is approved, the builder submits the blueprints for review. You see, the blueprints have to follow the city's building code. So now we dig into the plan and we see what the details are all about. Do my plans line up to God's code? Do my plans line up to God's word? Is what I am hoping to build, is what I am dreaming of, does it line up to God's word? You see, God has given us, he's given us his own building code. He didn't leave us to wonder how to do this correctly. He didn't leave us to guess how to be successful. He said, just build according to my code. Build according to my plan. Build according to my will. And then whatever you build will be blessed, and it'll have my favor resting upon it. That's why these Ten Commandments, week after week after week, we spent understanding how do we orient our lives around your will and around your word. I want every strong life to understand that we must be built according to the plans that God has already written for us. You know what I know today? You would not want to live in a house where the builder ignored the code. And you know what? Why would I want to live a life that ignores God's word? I don't want to do that. I don't want to live a life that ignores God's word. I wouldn't want to live in a house that ignores his word. I want to live according to God's word. I want to live according to God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we are aligning ourselves with his word, if we are in agreement with his word, then we're going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love this. When you build your life on the Bible, you're building on solid ground. You believe that today? We want to build our lives on the Bible, on the Word of God, so that our lives are built on solid ground. Here's the third step in that permitting process. It's called inspections. Inspections. During the construction phase, inspectors will visit the site multiple times to make sure the work matches the plan. And if something is not right, if something is not being built according to the plan that was approved, if something is trying to be worked in or worked around, or somebody's trying to do something that is not up to code, if something is not right, then they flag it, and that issue has to be addressed. It has to be corrected, or maybe even it has to be rebuilt. Hear me, in the same way God inspects us throughout the process. God deals with our hearts throughout the process. What's he doing? He's checking on our progress. He doesn't just bless us once. He doesn't just anoint us once and then leave us to finish on our own. He watches over our progress. And so sometimes during the process, challenges come and difficulties come and delays happen, and maybe there's opportunity for correction. But guess what? All of that is a part of the inspection process. And I know every builder in this room, you ought to have a good strong amen, because every builder in this room hates to see the inspector coming. They don't like it. Because the inspector may have an idea for you. He may want you to do something just a little differently. And whatever the inspector says, that's what you're bound to. Because he's got the pen and he's got the clipboard. He's got the power to shut the entire project down. You know what I say? If God sends you an inspection, if God sends you correction, if God sends you redirection, if the Lord sends conviction into your life or a test, don't resist it. You know what that means, that conviction, that redirection? It means that he is still invested in what you are building. That's why Paul told us, don't sear your conscience with a hot. Don't walk away from that process and that feeling. Why? Because it is God trying to help us. It's God trying to make us better. Here's the fourth stage of the building or the permitting process. It's called the certificate of occupancy. The certificate of occupancy. When the building passes inspection, the city issues a certificate of occupancy. What is this? It is official permission. It is permission for you to house the building and to do with the building that intended purpose. This is what we have been working for. Every long day you've had, every long week, every long month, every long year, all of this has been a part of building for God's glory. So when God blesses our hard work, when he sees how much we serve, when he recognizes how much we have given, he gives us that certificate of occupancy, and the Holy Ghost moves in to fill what has been built. You know what I say? I say, Holy Spirit, fill this place. You know what I say? I say, Spirit of the Lord, glory of the Lord fill this house. Because when God occupies what he's built, it becomes a living testimony of his glory. What are you building? What are we building? What are we doing? I'm Bob the Builder. I'm building something. I'm working on something. So Lord, take us through the building process to make sure we are building your plan, your will, your heart for this city. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan, but your plan, Lord. What do you want to build? And send the inspector, because the last thing I want to do is get off track. The last thing I want to do is start skirting the process, building the right way. I remember years ago, traveling through the state of Louisiana. Told my family, we got enough time. Let's pull off this exit here and we'll drive you through the parking lot of a building. Not gonna call names today, but there had been a great scandal. It was the front page of Time Magazine, the cover. It was the front page of every newspaper. Great, great scandal, great fall. And when you would drive through the parking lot of this vast building and number of buildings, several of them were unfinished. It was just the steel structure, and a lot of that was dilapidated and messed up and grown over and weeds growing up and around. And my mind went back to the prophecy when an inspector came. This is all documented. I'm not making any of this up. But when the inspector, when the prophet came with a warning, hey, you got to change course. You're building out of a line. This is not following the plumb line. You're not living this life according to God's word. That was met with resistance. That was met with, no, I'm bigger than that. I know what I'm doing. And that prophet, I could call his name, said, if you don't hear the word of the Lord, the bats will inhabit those buildings. And on the front page of that city's paper, I've held the article, I've read it for myself. The front page of that newspaper, a number of years later, was how this, I don't even know what you call it, a den of bats, I don't know what you call what the word, but it was so many bats that had overtaken that construction site. They were having to professionally come in and move the bats out because someone didn't adhere to the word of the inspector. God, here is our life. Here is our church, Lord. We don't want anything but you. We don't want this built according to us. That's why we're allowing faith to build the room. That's why last week we're trying to make sure that our altar is built and established. And Lord, today we're trying to make sure that we have been permitted so that we can get to that certificate of occupancy so that you can do what you want to do in this house so that you can work the way that you want to work. Because every builder knows if you skip the permitting process, you risk tearing down everything you've worked for, losing all the investment. And the same is true in our spiritual lives unless the Lord builds the house. The builders labor in vain. Let me make this personal for someone today. Because I know you don't want to be a flesh house that does not have Jesus as the occupant. I know you don't want to live your life without Jesus at the center. We can talk about what kind of church we want to build, and we can ask for God's blessing and God's help, and we do, and we pray it. But let me tell you what revival is. Revival is you, sir, you, ma'am, you, young family, you, student. It's you making a decision to live your life with Jesus as Lord of your life. You don't want to live a life that doesn't have Jesus as occupant, living in your heart, living in your life. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I want to make sure the Lord is living here. That means he's got to walk me through the process. Walks me through repentance. He walks me through submitting to him, yielding my life to him, giving my all to him so that he can come and live on the inside of me.